Okay, we're continuing in the Drasha Saran. We're in the Drasha Achadasar in the Mosad Rav Kooks. We're on page Taf Lamed Tes. So we're continuing in this idea that the Psak Halacha follows the Torah's Halachas, the mitzvahs. You have to follow the Chachamim and not a Navi or anyone else. That's what we talked about last time. So, continuing in this, it says, there are many reasons, the Ron explains, why Hashem set it up, that we should follow Chachamim when we're in doubt about a certain mitzvah and not follow Nevi'im. Many reasons. Shadavar Baruch, because it's clear, Shein HaNevi'im is not B'mechaleis. Nevi'im can't get Nevuah at the drop of a hat. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu could, but your average Navi can't just get Nevuah whenever he wants. So what would we do if the Navi, you know, Nevi'im had to get into the mode of Nevuah? They had to be in the right mind, the right spiritual state, and the right frame of mind, and they had to have, you know, we said people play music to get them in the right mood. Anyway, it didn't just come whenever they wanted. So what if they're having a rough day, and this is not they're not in a very spiritual mood, they can't get to the level where they can get Nevuah? So how are we going to know what to do? And furthermore, Hashem knew that Nevuah would not last forever. Hashem knew that there would come a time where our Averos would cause that there would be no Nevuah anymore. And if when we have a doubt on how to perform a mitzvah or what to do, we had to only go to Nevi'im to find out what the Torah says. What would we do if there's no Nevuah? We're going to all be looking around to what does Hashem want? How do we perform the mitzvah of Sukkah or whatever? And we're not going to know the answer. And therefore, Gazer Chachma, so Hashem decreed that the decision when there's a doubt should be given over to Chachamim, who will always be there. Like Hashem promised us, the Torah will not be forgotten from the Jewish people. There will always be Chachamim who you could go to ask your questions to. The Ode, and furthermore, the Nevuah that Hashem told us to listen to, that we should trust, that when a Navi says, Hashem told me this, that we should trust that Hashem really told it to him. It's not like Nevuah was always such an easy thing to know, you know, is this really a true Navi, a true Nevuah or not? Like we'll explain later on. Therefore, it was better that the Torah give over the decision making to Chachamim, who can explain where they're coming from, as opposed to giving it over to a Navi who would have to show you a miracle to prove that what he said was really coming from God. And sometimes the miracles that a Navi could do, you know, maybe you could say he was doing magic, he was doing whatever other excuses you might give for an os, it's not 100%. So it wasn't always the easiest thing to figure out that a Nevuah truly was Nevuah. So for all these reasons, Hashem gave decisions over to the Chachamim and not to Nevi'im. Okay, now, the way this whole discussion had started was because the Ran had said that, had asked, how could it be that the Torah decided that all decisions should be made by the Chachamim, whether they're right or wrong, and even if a Bas Kol comes out and says, the Chachamim's wrong, we don't listen to it. We listen to the Chachamim, lo b'shamayim hi, we follow what the Chachamim say. So the Ran had asked, since we believe that the Torah that and the mitzvahs that Hashem gave to us, they're not random. They're not Hashem just saying, I could have said, you know, bash your head into a wall. Instead, I said, keep Shabbos. It's not random. Hashem gave us Shabbos because it's good for our neshama. Hashem told us not to eat pork because it's bad for our neshama to eat that. They're real things. So the Ran asked, if that's the case, how is it that the Torah is telling us to listen to the Chachamim, even if they're wrong? If I'm going to eat pork, you told me it's bad for my neshama. So I have this piece of meat, I'm not sure what it is, and the Chachamim tell me it's okay. And really, in Shemayim, it's not okay. So why would the Torah tell us to follow them? They could be wrong, and then it'll be bad for us. So his first answer was, basically, there's no choice, as it's the lesser of two evils. If the other option of not listening to the Chachamim is a much worse option, because it's likely the Chachamim will get it right. And otherwise, having everybody follow their own rabbi doesn't work. You have a million different ideas. Anyway, so there, the Torah, it's the better of the better, best situation is to have the Chachamim and the Sanhedrin make the decision because they're most likely to be right. Okay, that was answer number one. But answer number two is Vani Sover. Oh, now the Ron says, I further think Sanhedrin Hefsid Benefesh Klal. I think that the Sanhedrin, if they say something, it's impossible that it'll cause you. Even if they're wrong, it's impossible that it'll hurt your soul. Gam ki achilu davar aser v'shiyomer bo shehu mutter. Even if they're going to say that something is mutter when it's really aser or vice versa. Lefi shehatikun asher yimashich benefesh mitzad ha'achra lemitzvos hachachamim morei Torah. Because the positive that you do to your soul by following what the Chachamim said because they said it, this is what Hashem likes the best. I think this is what most of us probably were intuitively thinking to the question, which is, if Hashem told us to follow the Chachamim, then that's what Hashem wants. And it's so he's explaining that even though they may tell you the wrong thing, and that should hurt your soul, but the positiveness of following what the Chachamim said, it's such a big mitzvah that it can remove the negative of the treif you're about to eat. Ka'omro, as they say, hinei shemoa mizevach tov. Listening to Chachamim is better. Listening is better than bringing karbanos. So betikun ahu is a very interesting point. The Ran is saying betikun ahu, with the good thing that you do by following the Chachamim, yasur haroa asher hayem utud lihisyali benefesh mitzar achilas adavar asher hu. That negates the negative that would have come to your soul by eating treif. And he says you find this in the physical world. So he says, again, I don't know if we are familiar with this in our modern times, but the Ran's understanding was is that if you ate food that was not healthy for you, if you thought it was healthy for you, that would help make it be healthy for you. And he says, imloshi yil muflik. Obviously, if you even the Ran understood, if you eat cyanide thinking that it's good for you, it's not going to help. But something that's a little bad, not quite so healthy, but you're eating it because somebody told you it's healthy, like in the olden days where they thought lots of things were healthy that weren't healthy. It can actually help you. Your thoughts can affect your body. Not much we do have in science today that your thoughts can affect your health. But either way, certainly in the spiritual world, that's the way that what the Ran is saying, that's the way it works, that following your thoughts too, that you want to do this because the Chachamim said so, that does such a positive thing. It negates the negativeness that would have came from the treif. When a person follows the Sanhedrin, gam ki yishku v'yorub davar asur shuru mutter, even if they make a mistake and say something is asur, which is really mutter, or vice versa, he mashchu acher atzasim v'hayoso nimshach divrem yafsir mi nafsho kal oso roa. So following what they said will take away the negativity that would have came from eating that usher thing. Therefore the Torah says, do not sway from what they said for to the right or the left. Even like we said, even if they say that your right is your left and left is your right. Okay, and this is the end of explaining about the Shoftim and their Tikkun. Okay, I just want to point out it's not clear to me, in the Ran's example of a physical body, he says that while the mind can change how food affects you, if it's cyanide, your thoughts are not going to help. I'm not sure if that applies to the spirit, meaning if Bastin said, you know, something which is a chi of kares is not kares. Is he saying that by following the Chachamim, no bad would happen to you? Or is there the exception of something like the equivalent of spiritual cyanide different? I don't know. I would assume from reading it that it sounds to me like he would say that following the Chachamim will never hurt you. That's what it sounds like to me. And it's just the mashal is a little not perfect. But it sounds to me that following the Chachamim would never cause you wrong, steer you wrong, because the fact that you followed the Chachamim, that in and of itself is such a big tikkun that it'll negate any issues that come along with it. Okay. And since, as he explained, you can't just have shoftim. You need a king to support the shoftim, to fill in the gap. So therefore the Torah starts then talking about making a king. And it says, Kisavu el aretz, when you'll come to Eretzelva, Amarta, and you will say, Asima alai melech kol agoyim asher tzvivosai. I will make for me a king like all the goyim that are near me. Amin hanira, says the Ran, it appears, Sha'omro asima, by the fact that the Torah says, and you'll say, I will place a king on myself. So that's Yirmos Masha Amar la'asid b'mei Shmuel. That was hinting to what they would say in the future. Moshkasa Rabban, like the Rabban says. In other words, the Torah doesn't just say, when you'll get to Eretz Yisrael, go make a king. It says, when you get to Eretz Yisrael and you say, I want a king like all the Goyim, so it was hinting to what the Jews actually said in the times of Shmuel, where they said, we want a king like all the Goyim. I want to add to this, the Ran says, Shu Omer, Kisav Olars, the Pasuk says that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, Gam ki tigvar alecha ta'avascha lehidamas el ha-Goyim ashas vivasecha. Even though when you get to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to feel like at some point that you really want to be like the Goyim. You'll say you want to have a king with a regular secular government. You don't want the Torah's laws. You think it's better for you with a secular government. Im calls that, so they shouldn't think that. But either way, im calls that yishamer lecha shelo tiratzei l'idamei seleim legamri. At least minimally, don't try to be like them completely. Ki hei mamlichem aleim ha'isha sheyech tifu bo yoser. They, who had they choose a king? Whoever they, well, I don't know, please. Whoever they want to be king, they make king. You don't be like that. Don't just, you can't decide on your own who's going to be king. Even if you want to make a king like all the goyim that are surrounding me, which you shouldn't say anyway, still, at the very least, do not be mamlech, do not make someone a king, k'chol avas nafshecha, just whoever you desire. Like the goyim can either democratically elect a king, or they can just get together, however they decide who's going to be king, they decide. But by the Jews, minimally, avaliyah, melech osar, asher yivcha, Hashem lekecha, the Jewish king has to be someone that God chooses. V'amr b'sifriyim, and Sifriyat says, al pi navi, you got to ask a navi. So the navi can decide who's going to be king, not you. You can't choose your own king. And since the power of a king is so great, so einenu mishtabid lemishpatei haTorah kama shofit, in the sense that the king doesn't have to follow the Torah like the judges do, in the sense of how to enact punishment. The Torah gave a king broader powers. Vimlo yiyah shalom b'yiras elokav, if the king is not a real yorei shamayim, yavu lehafer tzalamidos yoser mimashi yischayev l'tikna klali, he might go a little above board, as we all are familiar with. Power corrupts. So therefore, maybe he'll go be taking actions that are more than he should be. So therefore, tzivo shiyah sefer Torah imotam. Therefore, the Torah commanded that a king, a Jewish king, has to always carry a sefer Torah around with him wherever he goes. Omro, as it says, v'hi kishivto kisei malchoso mamlachto, when he sits on his throne and his kingship, because of los mishnah Torah azos, he has to write the Torah, whatever mishnah Torah refers to it, some machlokas, what specific it refers to, but whatever it is, he has to write the Mishnah Torah Zosal Sefer. He writes the Torah on a Sefer. Lifnei Akohen Levim, Ha'isimov Akarabo Kol Yomei Chayav. He has to read it all days of his life. The man Yilmad LeYiras Hashem Elokav, so that he should learn to fear God. V'lishmaros Kol Divrei HaTorah Zosal, and to keep the Torah. Yirtzu B'zeh. What does the pasuk want to tell us with all this? The Torah is telling us that Kashi Yafritz Al Midas HaTorah, the Torah Tikuns Mano. So the king's job is to not follow the laws of the Torah in terms of enacting punishment like judges do. In other words, judges have to have two witnesses, and the guy has to be to see a crime being committed, and the guy has to be warned before he commits the crime, all that. A king isn't limited to that. A king is supposed to, where he feels that murder is rampant, to take matters into his own hands and kill the guy without witnesses or without warning if he feels appropriate. So since he's working outside the framework of the official laws of the Torah, it could get too far. So therefore, the Torah is telling him, have a sefer Torah with you to teach you Yira. And it should be, lo tiyah kavanos lavel divrei Torah klal, the purpose of you being a king and acting your power should not be so that you don't have to follow the Torah. Not to have any less Yerushalayim by the fact that you don't have to follow the laws of the Torah in that sense. But your kavana should be, the king's thoughts should be, to protect the Torah. Like Lahavdil, the guy right in America, when the president gets sworn in, he swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So a Jewish king is has the mitzvah of to preserve, protect, and defend the Torah. So Shebechol Mashi Yosef O Yigra Yechavin Kadesh Yeh Chukei Torah Mitzvaseh Yosef Nishmar. Everything the king does should be to make the Torah more watched and kept. Kasher Nemra Tadamo. So, like, as an example, Shekishiyarog Horig Nefesh Bloidim Asra. Let's say someone kills, like the example I was giving, someone kills someone. There's no witnesses. There's no warning. Lotia Kavanasa Laharis Memshalto Laamshu Shalit Alze. If he decides this guy should be killed anyway, so his kavana, his intention should not be to show, I'm king, I could kill whoever I want. That should not be what he's thinking. His only purpose should be, his only thought should be, if he has that guy killed, is so that people should take Lo Sirtzach more seriously. In other words, all of his going outside of the general framework of the Torah with regards to punishment should be, or with anything, whatever he's allowed to not follow the exact rules of the Shoftim, his kavana should always be to strengthen the Torah, not to go away from it, but to make it stronger. Lafishu Moshel Mem Shel Rav Hu Meusadis Goes Bazeh. Now, since the king has so much power, and power makes people haughty, his hero the Hishamer Mizeh, the Torah goes on to warn him about that, about being a Baal Gaiva. Ba'omro Levilti Rum Levavo Me'achav. The Torah says, lest his heart think he's greater than his brothers. Now this mitzvah not to be a Baal Gaiva and not think that you're better than your brothers is not a mitzvah just for a king. It's a mitzvah on everybody. Don't think you're better than other people. It's just said to the king. The king should not have a haughty heart to think he's better than other people. It's said specifically by a king for two reasons. One is the obvious. Because a king is more likely to become a Baal Gaiva. Hashenis, the second reason is Shenilmud Kavachomer Lahedyot, that we should learn a Kavachomer to regular people that they should not. If a king can't even think he's better than other people, certainly a regular Joe on the street can't think he or she is better than other people. Okay. Lefei Daiti, the way I see it, says Duran, Sheish Bemelech Tzad Yechdeo, there's something else special about a king, that the king has to be warned not to be a Baal Gaiva. Shemimenu Roy Yoser Shal Yoram Levavo Mitan Hamachus Yoser Mimash Roy Shal Yoram Lev Shar Bnei Adam Mitan Hamilas Nim Tzosbem. So Duran says, I want to tell you something else. There's something else, a reason why a king should especially not have a haughty heart more than a regular guy. Meaning there's a reason that a king should have even a lower, less haughty heart than an average guy. Forget that he shouldn't be more haughty than other people. He should be less than other people. Now, everyone has things that they're special about, and some people could become haughty about them. But the king's being a king is a reason to be even less haughty, as he explains. But who? And that is, Shiyadua, it is known. Shahamalchus enenu davar davik lemelech. Kingship is not something that specifically attaches itself to the king. Avalhu davar nitin lav meisa'am. It's just the people decide he's the king. It's not like he's born with kingness to him. People appoint him as king. Or Hashem makes him king. Or either to help Hashem makes him king, either to help the nation or to help himself. But it's not like if the nation, let's say, stopped treating him as king, so he doesn't go on as king. He's not. His kingness is only because it's decided by others to make him king, either by Hashem or by the nation. In other words, nothing internal to the person. This is what Shlomo said. Tov yelad miskin v'chacham mimelech zakin miksil. A smart young man is better than an old dumb king. Foolish king, doesn't know how to be careful. Can be based asurim yetzi limloch. Because from the low places, dungeons, whatever, he'll go out to rise to be king. Point is that Malchus is not connected to the king himself, Be'etzem. It's not there's something inherently kingly about certain people that they are inherently kingly. Aval hu toar nosef alav letzerach tikun haklal. It's just a word given to a person who is supposed to be helping the nation go in the right direction. Therefore, the king should not view himself as someone who is Superman, who is king and a ruler. He shouldn't think of himself like that. He should think of himself as less than average, a literally public servant, someone whose job it is to help others, that that's his whole job. Therefore, the Gemara says in Harios, Kesfurin Shesharos and Inos in Lam, Avdos and Inos in Lam. People who are becoming in charge of something, the Gemara says, do they think I'm making them in charge of things? I'm giving them Avdos. To become the leader of the Jewish people is Avdos. You have to be, your job now is you're a public servant. David, what David HaMelech said, we say this in the Shir Shayom of Sunday, right? The gate should lift up and the Melech HaKavod should come. Mize Melech HaKavod, Hashem, who Melech HaKavod, right? Who is the Melech HaKavod? Who is the King of Honor? Hashem. Benimtza Kasav L'Rizal, and he's, the Ran says it's found from the Ri, but Megillah Starm Shalom, in this Megillah Starm, Shepirusho Kach, this is what that Gemara means. That Pasuk means, rather, when it says Melech HaKavod. What does it mean that Hashem is the only Melech HaKavod? Shehamalachim Kulam Einam Molchim Ala Kavod. No king rules over honor. Avalhu Molech Elem. Kavod rules over the king. Whatever the nation wants to give this king in terms of honor, that's what he gets. If the nation decides they don't want to give the king any honor, the guy loses his malchus. So it comes out the king is not in charge of kavod. He doesn't rule over kavod. Rather, kavod rules over him. The exception is God. God is ruler over kavod. Hashem rules over all kavod, over all everything. So the point of all this is that since the honor that is given to a king is not something intrinsic to the person, and it's not any honor given to him is not for his own personal self, it's just given to him by the people. Rak l'tikunam, to help the nation. The nation must give honor to their king so that they respect him and that he could take them in the right place, but it's not for the person themselves. It's the honor given to him is for the honor of the people. So therefore, Roy Yoser Shal Yoram Levavo Mitan Machusum Mashroi Shal Yoram Levachachum Mitan Chachmaster Ashrakana. So therefore, a king whose king should be less haughty about his kingship than a smart guy who knows a lot, who at least worked to get it, and it's actually his wisdom, or that Hashem, even if he didn't work hard for it, at least Hashem gave it to him for himself. Whereas malchus is nothing to do with you. If a person gets honor out of being a leader, that's the honor given to a leader is not for that person's own personal kavod. It's for the honor of the people he serves. So Gam Roy Yoser Shlo Yoram Levavu Mitan Machusim Mashroy Shlo Yoram Lev Echan Mehamon Ha'Anashim Asher Osof Osher V'Chasim. A king should also not think he's better than rich people who at least worked hard to get their riches, and it's really theirs. Lios Hamachovan Me'Amalchus Rishona Be'etzem Tikun Am Lo Tikuno. Because again, the purpose of kingship, the first and main purpose of the honor of Malchus and the purpose of rulership is to help the nation. So the honor given to the king is 100% nothing to do with him, even less than a smart guy is smart or a rich guy is rich. At least that has something to do with them in this world. Kingship had nothing to do with the guy. It's all the honor of the people. L'fikach nisya, and the person and the king himself should just view himself as a public servant. Therefore, specifically by a king should not become haughty because he is the opposite. He should view himself that all of his honor has nothing to do with him and is only from the honor of the Jewish people. And we will stop here.